Hey, what's up, and welcome back to another episode of the Betascape. On today's episode, I am joined by our beta brother, Steve, the leather cook. We talk about why Tori Amos is such a rock star, masturbation as stimming, and why the Betascape makes a really great name for a bait hotel. Enjoy the episode, bros. You look amazing. Where is this in your dungeon in your home?
Yes, this is in my home. This is my basement.
Nice.
Yeah.
How long did that take you to build together?
It's a work in progress, mm-hmm. I would say. I have a friend in town who was telling me, like, oh, he knows someone who was selling a sling. Uh-huh. And so he's like, oh, I found the sling for you. And it was, you know, cheaper than buying a new sling. And so he helped me find that sling, and then we put it up together. So I had help along the way. But this was the first space in my house. I moved into this house about 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. This was the first room that I was like, this is where my money's going. Like, it's important for me to create this sex space, because I feel like that's something I've always wanted in a place that I live in, like just a dedicated space.
I agree 100%. I was actually thinking about that yesterday, because I woke up that morning and I was like, God, I'm so humble that I have like this studio that I could just call my bait den, right? Essentially, yeah. Like, is where I have my sex. I have like all like my beautiful sex artwork. But I was thinking, a goal of mine is to like own a residence and then have a room strictly dedicated and really build it up, like, yeah. And I envision it being very like, I don't know, maybe it's just now, but I envision it being very retro 80s inspired. Like, I want a lot of blues and purples and like neons and like neon dicks everywhere.
Do you want
but mirrors? I do. So like, I want mirrors, but I also want, like, I want to hire like an interior designer to come in and be like, listen, this is just for sex. You know, it's merely for masturbation. Like, mm-hmm. I want to buy like big screen TVs. I want to like outfit it with like really good audio quality, just so, you know, I can crawl into a space where I can lock myself away and just have this thing. And then you know, maybe even have this space big enough for like 2, 3, or 4 people. It'd be nice.
I think that, I mean, for me, this is something that I feel like has changed my life in some ways. I mean, it's kind of silly to say, but it's giving me just like a place where I can just totally inhabit that vibe, that feeling.
Yeah.
And also I find that, you know, there's just so much energy that I feel like I'm creating in the space, like, not to get all like woo-woo, but I just feel like when you masturbate or just have sex in the same location, and that's like the same, that's the only thing you're doing in that location, I feel like it builds some sort of energy.
Count my blessings every time I wake up. I'm just like, oh, this is finally a thing, you know, like be able to just kind of own your sexual space.
I also have an attic in this house, and that's something that I have not put any effort or money into. They do also want to turn that into like a second dungeon or a second play space, and I'm still trying to figure out how best to work with that architecture, because it's like a peak.
Yeah.
And if you're tall, I mean, like, I will bang my head all the time when I'm there. Like, I have to just be very conscious of like the wood paneling and things that. But I'm trying to think about the best way to take advantage of that situation. And so, again, like, my house is like a work in progress of like, I think it's almost, I guess the analogy I would think about it as, if you're like an archaeologist, there's this like string of memories or strings of like things I've been into, especially when you look at my dungeon, that are relics of like, you know, every year I'll have like one thing that I really am into in masturbation, and then, you know, I'll try something else. And it's kind of like a memory board in that way.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think people have different things that they're passionate about, and you are, like, you collect it. But I think for you, like, when I look at you and your work, like, it's very specific, obviously. You know, it's very leather. I feel like I should really introduce you right now. I don't think I even introduced you.
No, I think that we just, like, jumped in, but that's fine. I feel like
that's cool.
To be honest, like, when I meet people, like, there have been so many times when I'll fuck someone, I don't know their name, and I don't want to know their name. Like, you know, I kind of just don't want to know.
Well, that's what we've talked
about. But I want to know after I've, you know, come. Then I'll be like, hey, what's your name? But...
That's what I was gonna say. I was like, we talked about that whole, like, being turned on by not anonymity. Yes. Like, I don't even know your fucking name. I just know your asshole.
Yeah,
we'll talk about this later.
Yeah. I don't need to know, like, where you work. I don't care. Like, let's just have sex. So
yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
I guess, like, the first 5 minutes of us talking have been like the foreplay and of us figuring it out, right? And now you can say my name. Now you can introduce me.
Well, it's good. I've gotten really into, like, editing. So, I mean, I'll chop this up any way we want. Like,
okay.
A lot of it gets edited out. But I just feel like anytime I, like, try to prompt, it just feels really unnatural. And you're just like, no, I'm talking to my homie. Like, you're my buddy.
I think I
introduced
myself to you because I think I found you on Twitter, on my alt Twitter. and then I think I messaged you on Instagram and maybe said, like, hey, like, I really like your Twitter. And then I think we just, like, had a conversation. I don't think that you had any idea. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to read into your head, but maybe I perceived that you didn't know my Twitter or know that I was interested, you know, I'm into, like, the bait world and things like that. So I don't know, like, what your perception of me at the beginning was anyway.
Yeah, no, I think I meet a lot of people on social. I think it's great. You're able to meet people from all different sort of places. And I just thought, oh, there's this, like, really hot, like, guy that's, like, into leather, but also into baking. I think that's what really hooked me. I was just like, whoa, this guy, like, bakes. Oh, and also to your your coffee pours. Yeah, so I'm so excited to be talking to my buddy the leather cook, Steve the leather cook.
Yes.
You can find
thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, of course. You can find them on Instagram, but you have different stuff going around. We can talk about those things. But I feel like Instagram is the leather cook. Yeah.
Yes.
This is where you showcase a lot of, like, so and even to this day, I just assume that you're, like, a cook, but you're not a cook, are you? Like, by trade.
I'm a home cook, sure, but my profession is not cooking, right? Like, I don't make my money from cooking.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was just like, that's cool. Like, I've never really heard of that. And then you're just, like, dressed up in this, like, amazing, like, leather outfits and you're, like, baking pies and shit.
Yes. And I mean, like, that's something that even before I started posting on Instagram, I would just do, you know, like, it's not something that I just did for IG. It's, like, something I always would just, like, why not, like, just hang out and do something ridiculous like that.
It's not ridiculous. It's, like, really sexy.
Yes.
It's like you're walking down shirtless and all of a sudden you're, like, full on leather gear.
It's not ridiculous. It's more, like, I guess, unexpected.
Yes. It's a good unexpected. I like it. I enjoy it. It's really nice. How have your travels been? You've been all over the place since your last, like, the last couple of weeks. You've been traveling a lot.
Yeah, I traveled for the past 3 weeks. I got back just 2 days ago. So yeah, it was great. I was in Spain for 4 days, and then in Madrid, and then just doing side trips here and there. And then I spent close to 2 weeks in Germany, going to Berlin, Hamburg, and Munich.
Had you ever been there to those places before? Is this your first time?
I had been to Madrid and Berlin before. This was my first time in Hamburg and Munich.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I've always wanted to go to Spain. Well, I've always wanted to travel. I've just never gotten the courage to do so. I get anxiety about traveling alone. But I'm trying to, like, you know, jump out of that and really get myself over to Europe. I met a really cool people when I was living in New York on Europe, and they thought, yeah, Berlin would be really good for me.
Yeah, I think you would thrive in Berlin. I think you would love it.
Well, I want you to show me all the cool spots in Berlin. Funny, but like, I've always been interested in leather community. I just never really gotten into, I really immersed myself in that world. Like, I really love going to like the Eagle here in LA, which is a really cool spot. Where are you in the world? You're in New York.
I'm in upstate New York.
Yeah, what's the leather scene there like?
I mean, certainly not as developed as LA or New York. But I feel like there's a growing leather scene here in upstate New York. Organized the first like leather contingent to march in the Pride Parade here last year.
That's so cool. And
I got about 25 people to march with me under the leather flag. And so, you know, that's something that I'll be doing again this year. So there is like a small community that it's growing. I feel like people are becoming more, I don't know, accepting of just showing their kinks and their differences here.
Yeah. I love a good kink.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
I think that's really, yeah. But I think it's really cool. Like, I feel like you're doing the same thing that I'm trying to do, which is just like build community.
Yes.
Like where you are on the topics that really bring you pleasure, like masturbation and leather. A little tongue tied because you what I'm looking at right now.
Oh, should I turn off my camera? Is that what you're saying?
No, I leave it on. I think it's so sexy. Like people need to see this. Like it's just like you're like radiating leather energy right now.
Radiating
daddy energy. Fuck yeah. Wait, yeah. So what was going on? I know you went out to go see Tori Amos.
Yes.
And where did you see her perform?
I saw her perform in Berlin.
I've been a long time Tori Amos fan.
It's okay. So do you want to hear this little story that happened to me at the Tori Amos concert?
Yes.
Okay. So there's an opening act, right? And there were three chairs that were empty on the left of me. Okay. So after the opening act, I got a beer, got some popcorn, come back, and there's a couple, like a man and a woman, now sitting in those seats.
Yeah.
And so I'm talking to the man, and he's like, I've never heard of Tori Amos. He's like, my girlfriend here has dragged me to see this concert. And so I'm in this outfit. So I'm in like a leather outfit, I have my leather hat on, and like, 5 minutes later he comes, he puts his hand on my shoulder, and he's like, I have a question for you, can I ask a question? I said, sure. And he's like, I'm looking around and there's so many gay men. can you tell me why there's so many gay men at the Tori Amos concert? And I was like, well, I can't speak on behalf of all gay men. But I mean, my guess or why I connect with her is, you know, that she writes things from the heart. It's like full of emotion, and it's complex issues, right? Like, what would you say? Like, why do you connect with Tori?
Well, I think, excuse me. I started back on the Weed and Poppers, and I'm just like, you know, when you wake up, you're just like, God, I need to like,
I know,
kick the habit, yeah. Man. Tori Amos is just like, she's like queer as fuck. Like, yeah. She was probably one of the first, when I was growing up, coming out and really dealing with my own sexual identity, like, she was like gay as fuck. Like,
yeah,
there was just whatever queerness or gayness or the angst of holding in like who you really are and just wanting to tell the world and sing out loud and like embody who you really want to be. I think she was doing it at a time when everyone was like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yes.
Right? Like yeah. Everyone was kind of like, I don't understand this fucking music. She's being so authentically herself.
Yes.
And I think for me, the part that I really resonate with, it's just the angst of it all. Like, God, that's fucking yeah. track is major. Like, are you kidding me? Like, she's such a badass. She's a fucking rock star. Like,
totally.
You totally. Might be seeing her, like, the way she owns that musical instrument with both hands. I mean, the woman is, like, back yeah. and forth on these pianos. Like, who does that? She does
not even need to look at it, you know?
She does it. Like, it's like she is herself an instrument. Yes. So yes. I've always found her really captivating. I saw her once in, it might have been the Greek. And she was really great. She was
yeah, really great. I find everything that you said, that especially her earlier albums are full of angst and like relationship issues and basically dealing with all of those topics that are like fundamental but are so specific, I feel like, to your you know, your teens, your 20s, your 30s.
Well, to and us. Then
you feel like you see over her albums, she kind of like starts out very personal, and then her later albums are almost more political or more like of the times, if that yeah. makes sense. And
yeah,
I feel like that's also like a progression of like how one thinks or processes the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I will always be a fan of like Little Earthquakes, of course. That was like iconic album. And then I really loved Choir Girl Hotel.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought that was a really fantastic album.
That was the first album of hers that I listened to, because I remember my sister's gay friend had left that album like in 1998 or whenever it came out. He left it, you know, in our computer. And I remember being like 12 and like finding that album and like ripping the album. That's what it's called, right? Like ripping the album so I could convert the songs into an MP3s, you know, and then put it on Napster. Like that was me at 12.
He left it there on purpose, you know that, right?
That was what?
He left that album on purpose. He knew.
He probably, yeah.
He's like, here's a little gift for this little homosexual, this budding homosexual.
He has no idea. He had no idea what he just did.
Well, hopefully you like listen to this podcast and it's just like, I knew it. He blessed you with the Tory queerness.
So going back to that concert, the guy that had asked me about why there's so many gay guys, halfway through the performance, he leans into me and he's like, so I think I like Tori Amos.
Is he hitting on you?
And I'm like, well, I don't think you're gay, so don't worry. And he kind of just looked at me and then he was like, oh yeah, he's joking. I don't know if there was a language issue, but yeah. So not only gay guys can like Tori Amos, I guess is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, no, everybody can like Tori Amos. She's I just remember her being in a very acquired taste. Like, she was not very popular. Like, she was never mainstream. But she definitely had a following, like this underground following, like this cult following. Yes. Like, you knew Tori Amos, you were part of this family. And I think that's another reason why I really enjoyed her music, was because you could be a freak. You could be dealing with obviously, she spoke a lot about mental issues. You know, she did it in a way that was so artistic, but you know, if you could read between the lines, if you really got the music, it was like you were speaking it's like you were speaking a secret language to the people mm-hmm. who really understood her music, and you could relate that way. And yes. I think that's what all music, if it's really powerful, if it's really good, you know, you're able to communicate through sound and through music. And I think that's, I always thought to myself, if I had a talent, it'd be singing. I mean, wouldn't that be fun? You could be a leather baker rock star.
Are you saying I'm not already?
Are you, do you, are you out? Maybe that's where you went to Berlin, you ass.
No. I feel like singing would be cool. I just feel like I'm good where I am. I want to develop the talent of like relearning the piano. Like that's kind of the thing that I want to go into. And when I was traveling.
You said relearning?
Well, yeah. I mean, like I taught myself as like a kid, like, because I was playing trumpet. And then I taught myself how to play like all the songs I had to play on trumpet on the piano by sound, so that like I was able to like coordinate the note and like where I'm supposed to press on the keyboard.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't know, around like sixth or seventh grade, I kind of just stopped doing it. So I kind of want to, I kind of miss being able to create music like that. So I feel like it's always been like an aspiration of mine to like kind of go back into it. But I want it, my problem is that I want to do everything and time is finite.
I can totally do that. A lot of things I wanted to do. I feel like if I wanted to do music, I would really love to make like produce like big tracks. Like just like 90s like house music, but like just have it be like beta shit. I do follow a couple people on soundtrack, but it's like not enough. I want more. Like I want consistent, like I want like beta artists to consistently just make beta music. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I know. I used to have the SoundCloud probably like 5 years ago where I did, that's where I first started making some like beta tracks, and it got taken down. Like it got so popular, I was getting like 1,000 to 2,000 plays like a day on some of my tracks. And then it got flagged for like pornography and it got taken down and I was like really upset. So
yeah, that is upsetting.
And like I have a Patreon where I put that stuff on, but I just haven't like advertised it that much. So it's kind of like you kind of fall into it. If you're into that kind of thing, you kind of discover it. But do you know what I mean?
I'm into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We have that kind of thing. I feel like we do. We had like a verbal bait session once. It was really hot.
Yeah.
I'm really into leaving voice notes right now to like baiters. Yes. I love that shit. I do it all the time. I forget that it exists. And then I'm just like, wait, this is like another thing like I could fucking do. And it really turns me on. I listen back to my own shit and I'm just like, fucking.
I love listening to all the voice memos on Twitter, like all the ones that are just like, you know, start huffing your fucking poppers, blah, blah, blah. Like that stuff. Like, I'm like, why can't you make this like 7 minutes? Like, just like keep going.
Yeah, like make it like a
a proper track.
Yeah, make it like a whole DJ set, like put a fucking out. I want to go to a fucking masturbation beta party and someone's spinning beta tunes for a fucking hour and it's just like masturbation on repeat.
So
like,
I just want to hear one of my fantasies, and you know I have so many fantasies and they keep coming true, so I'm gonna just put this out in the universe, but like one of my fantasies is to basically be like a coach for a live masturbation session, like let's say an IML or something like that, where we get a room and the room, let's say, looks like this, you know, it's dark and dimly lit, but I'm there giving like vocal commands of like, you know, stroke your penis or, you know, huff your poppers, blah, 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 and I'm going into like a hypno space and everyone is there in the circle, you know, doing this under my, you know, command. And that to me would be like really hot, just because I haven't seen that done. And I feel like that would be worthwhile.
I remember going to like, was it Pride? And they would have those tents and it was like the only tent at Pride that was closed off. Oh. And you had to like be at a certain age to go in, and you would go in and it would be like a leather demonstration, and they would, you know, they would have like people in the leather community kind of talk about the kinks and like power dynamics and sub and dom play, and they would come out, they would bring out all the tools, you know, all the whips and chains, and they'd go over, like they would actually put someone in these things as a demonstration. I think you'd be really good at that.
Yeah, no, I love that.
Yeah, you should.
No, I think that that's one of my goals, is to take up that like educator space or that mentor space, because I think that a lot of people are interested in the leather community, but they may be intimidated by, you know, the look, or just not sure maybe how to even get in, you know, and they may feel embarrassed about asking questions and things like that. So
yeah,
I find that at least on Instagram, like a lot of people will ask me questions about the leather community, and I certainly enjoy, you know, answering them and having people feel more comfortable about exploring themselves and exploring that type of space.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're the type of person that you could talk to, you could answer questions about, like you could, I could ask you something and be like, oh yeah, that's really informative. I love coming from that space too, because I feel like there is a lot of, again, I feel like people just don't know how. And people are constantly trying to be like, I want to be like a better, whatever, better at sex, better at this, better at that. And being able to be in that space as a educator and just say, hey, I've been doing this for a really long time. This is what worked for me. It could totally work for you too.
Exactly.
I don't know. I feel like it's probably past that time, but I kind of feel like I want to go back to school and do more like sex education work and like really get into that space. I find it really fascinating.
I know. I had debated like doing a coaching program or getting some sort of like certificate in sex education, but I'm also like, I feel like in the past, those that were sex educators, they often just learned from experience, you know, like they didn't need an official piece of paper. It's kind of like you become a member of the community by all of your activities and by all of your experiences. And so I also feel like that's a total valid way to do it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like, I think there's different avenues that you can take. But again, I do think that there's like you as an individual who's passionate about the subject is going to want to learn as much as you possibly can about said subject. So then you come from a place of education of like, well, I've done all this research on my own and I've studied. And I mean, I'm sure you surround yourself with people that have been in the community for years and they have their own experiences and you're picking brains and you're doing this. Yeah, you know, you take the work upon yourself to really... say I can answer this as best I can. But I always, you know, it always comes from a lived experience. Like it's like, this is what really worked for me, I don't know. And I always try to preface that it's like everyone's on their own thing, so
yeah, you know. And I think to connect this to masturbation, because I feel like I would say I was more active in the beta community before I became more active in the leather community. And so I feel like there's this position, let's call it position if we want to be formal about it, of being like a coach in the beta community. And I feel like, you know, the coaches that I have interacted with, they've really helped me, you know, not just in like masturbation, but in life, of just like accepting pleasure without guilt and things like that. And I feel like in the leather community, there's also like a similar position of being like an elder or like an educator and things like that. So I feel like there's some like overlap about how the two communities work in a way.
Yeah, it's a nice little intersectionality there.
Yeah,
I think that's really great. Penis.
It unites us all.
I mean, it unites you if you wanted to unite you. I wanted to unite me all the time. I just had like this new, I just met a new Vader bro, and it came over last night. And it was really sweet. I always find it really interesting how people are on different levels of like being a Vader, and you kind of, I love meeting people where they're at. Cause it's like, I don't know. I'm at a point now in my life where I'm just like, okay, like I know my energy, my Vader energy so well. that I'm just like, okay, I know what I can do to get myself off, but I find it more interesting when I meet people where they're at. And I get so curious about people's kinks and fetishes. Yes. And like, it really turns them on. I'm just like, okay, let me play with you then. Like, let's just do what you want to do. Cause people are always like, what are you into? And I'm just like, I don't want to talk about myself. Let's talk about what you're into. Cause that's really what turns me on right now. And I feel like all of this year, that's where all my sex has come from. And I find it really arousing to just be like, I'm going to try new shit.
I think that's really interesting. But I kind of, the idea that popped in my head, I got this picture of like a tree. And what I was thinking about is, I feel like, you know, when you start out as a baiter or just in sex in general, like, it's kind of like, we're all doing the same thing, most of us, right? And then there gets to be a point where you start, if you get to this point, you start recognizing the specific kinks that you have, or the specific like points on your body that you like to be, you know, pressured. And we all start like branching off and kind of specializing in those specific areas or those kinks. And it's kind of like a tree. And what I always find interesting is when I interact with baiters that are like in their 50s or in their 60s, and they have been developing their kink for like 40 or 50 years, and they're at like level 1000 of it. And like, it is like, your mind is blown by their technique. And that's what I find really fascinating, is kind of the evolution of the baiter. Like, if they're really into it, like if they make it their life, where they end up going.
Yeah, that's why I feel like like older baiters or just having sex with older men though is so hot in a way that it's like really yes, it's respectful, but it's also very like I can see myself in them, because it's like I will eventually get to this age, you know, fingers crossed.
Yes.
And it just makes me, it's so sexy to know that I'm hooking up with like this 60-year-old man, that I will soon be 60 and I will still be as hornier. And that makes you really happy, because it's something to look forward to. And I'm just like, God, I never want to not masturbate. Like, I just want to continuously like give myself pleasure. Fuck it. I want to go masturbate. It's one of like the best orgasms. Just like, you're dead. I'm done.
I mean, it's one thing that I think about is like the orgasms that I have now in my mid to late 30s are like, I could never dream of this in my 20s, like where I am, like the things I'm into and where I am, but also the amount of pleasure I'm able to give myself and how I've learned to control that. Like, in some ways, the ways that I've mastered my body, I'm really shocked at, because I was like, I can see the progress, you know, from where I was in my 20s.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I know exactly where to go and how to get off. And
yeah,
it's just, I remember when I was first learning how to goon, and I really wanted to get there, it just kind of just happened. And I've been gooning for the last, I don't know, couple of years, and so now it's just an automatically goon. Like, I can look at a picture of a butthole and goon. Like, I don't even need to teach, like, touch myself. Like, it's just like this thing where you, it's like you evoke like your beta energy, and it's just kind of like, it's like a superpower, really.
I think so. I mean, I think it's something where over time you learn how to like access that door or like that part in your brain, and you know how to get to it. Like, I think that, you know, sometimes drugs can help facilitate that process, you know, if you take weed and so forth, but then you can learn from that experience of that and be able to access it even when you're sober, I feel like
because you've already gotten to that point, you know, what that you've already experienced it, so you can take that energy and like bring it forth whenever you need it.
Exactly. It's kind of like when you first get to that point, it's kind of like traveling on a dirt road, like you found the trail.
Yeah.
But then you can repeat that experience in a sober way and like kind of pave the road so that you're able to get to it like easier.
Oh, I like that. It's like a dirt road. It's like you're masturbating in a dirt road.
I know. I mean, like, I don't know about you, but whenever like a lot of my ideas come to me when I'm masturbating.
Yeah, absolutely. I have ideas,
like just random thoughts. And I feel like it's probably when I'm masturbating, I'm relaxing a side of my brain that like is either really tense or whatever, and things will pop up. And I always like, I'll have, you know, my phone or something near me and I'll make a note, you know, if I don't want to, if I continue masturbating, I will forget that thought.
Sure. Right?
And so it's a question of, do I want to like take the 1 minute to jot this thought down and perhaps edge myself and limit the possibility of having an orgasm, or do I want to like go through and hope that I can keep two things in my head?
I think you can. I think you can keep a lot of things in your head.
I do, but if I'm in that space, it's kind of hard. I would say like there are times when I'm masturbating, it's like thought, and I'm like, I just need to organize all this.
I try not to do too much thinking when I'm penis. Everything that I feel like funny, it's when I am on penis, everything around me will just look like a dick. Everything will smell like dick. Everything will taste like dick, because it's all I want to think about or like be.
For me, when I'm able to like really enter the space, everything else disappears. Like it's like there's black all over, and then whatever the thing is that I'm focusing on, that's the only thing that exists. Like time has disappeared. Yeah. Like my ego has disappeared. Everything like fades, and it's like this one thing I can do. Like I go into autopilot where like I focus into one thing.
Yeah.
And it's a meditative space. It's I do think it's like meditative, and that's why ideas kind of pop up, I think.
Well, one of the things that we've talked about, and I feel like or something to think about, is this idea of masturbation is stimming.
Yeah.
And the more I think about it, and you introduced me to this book, Unmasking
Autism. Yeah.
Yeah. So Steve introduced me to this book and I found it super fascinating. There's a lot of things on there that I was just like, okay, yeah, there's a lot of things that are like resonating with me. And that was one of the things that I found most interesting, because I thought, God, there's so many different aspects or different ways people do stim. And if you don't know what stimming is, it's like a repetitive behavior.
Yeah, I would say it's repetitive behavior that it's probably done to calm yourself down or to make yourself feel better.
Yes. And masturbation. I feel like masturbation has to be the top three stimming activities.
Exactly. Yeah. It must be. But I imagine because of society, people don't want to talk about it. It's probably not as like reported, but I'm sure that we know what's going on.
Sure. And it's funny, I'm very open about my masturbation, and I was talking to my psych the other day and I was just like, I think I'm like having issues with the medication because of my antidepressants. And one of the things that I, before I even began to take the treatment, was how is this going to affect my sex life? Because I was like, I do not want it to decrease it. I do not want it to affect it. And I feel like in the last couple of weeks it has, and I had this conversation with him on Friday, and I was like, listen, something needs to change, because I'm not going to live my life this way where I don't feel as sexual as I used to when you know, start doing this thing. He's like, how long has it been happening? Anyway, where I'm taking my giving myself 2 weeks to be really mindful of what's happening to my body and the things that are happening. But like, if this is going to be an issue, like something needs to change. Like, this is not something that I'm willing to give up or have in order to live like a happy life. I will find other ways to make myself happy or know, to make myself feel better, but I can't let go of the masturbation.
I totally know what you mean. I would say that, like, you know, I've been thinking about this for probably at least a month. Like, you know, I think that we chatted about this a little bit. And once I started thinking about it that way, like, I had mixed feelings about it, you know? I don't know. Like, there have been times in my life where I felt guilt or shame about masturbation, or like I would come and then I would feel like this pleasure followed by guilt, right? And it probably comes from like a lot of childhood shit of not ever feeling like safe, or like when something good would happen, it would be followed by something bad. Yeah. So I've been dealing with a lot of that bullshit. And I recognize that I've used masturbation in the past as, you know, certainly as a teenager, but also in my 20s, as something that like calm me down or made me feel numb in times when I felt really anxious and overwhelmed. So, I mean, it's a difficult conversation to have of like, is there a time when masturbation is unhealthy? And I like to think it's always healthy, but
yeah, I think it's always healthy too. But what I'm curious to know, when do you think it could be unhealthy?
I think it could be unhealthy if there's, I mean, if there's like physical damage that happens, you know, because you're doing it too much. That could be a sign.
Yeah.
I mean, like it could be unhealthy if it's something where preventing you from like doing work or something like that you need to get done.
Like an addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a real concern. I've had people come to me and say, God, I think I am addicted to masturbation. I feel like I'm doing it too much. I'm like, okay, well, let's unpack this. Like, what do you think is too much? We use the word unhealthy, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say, like, masturbation is never bad. Yes, it can be unhealthy, but I feel like it can be unhealthy only really just when it starts to affect other places in your life, right? Just like in any kind of addiction.
In any context,
and that's something that I've learned along the way. And that could be any behavior. It could be working out too much or eating too much. I do agree that the unhealthiness comes when it gets in the way of things that you need to live your life, like go to work or... you know, feed your dog. That's when it becomes unhealthy.
And I think back to like as a child, you know, just being so overwhelmed by my home situation that I would just masturbate like a lot. And so as an adult, like I had this like thought of like, well, was that unhealthy? And I'm like, no, I don't think it was, because I didn't, like, given the skills that I had at that point and all the things I had access to, like that was actually the healthiest option for me to calm myself down, to make myself feel better, and for me to deal with the situation. And so I do think that sex can be something that is like calming, that's healing. And we're given this ability to have sex for a reason. And I think that we should use it, you know? I think we shouldn't feel guilty about utilizing that, you know?
That I can agree with that. What's coming up for me is this idea of like not using the sex to think that that's going to get rid of your problem, right? So like for me, it's to understand like, okay, I'm feeling really overwhelmed, I'm feeling really triggered, I need to self-soothe, let me step out of the situation, go masturbate, you know, have that quality time, self-soothe, whatever I need to do in order to bring myself back to a grounded space.
Yes.
And after the fact, really start to unpack that thing that triggered you to get to your masturbation phase, right? Because I don't want people to start thinking like, oh, masturbation is a cure-all for your mental health. It's not.
No.
It's a great space to be, to self-pleasure and to take the time out and to really kind of bring you back to the present space. But yeah, you know, after you've done it and you feel good about yourself and you've calmed down, then you can go back and visit the space and be like, okay, let's really work out what's going on here.
And I like what you just said, because it reminds me of a process that I still do, which is, if I have a decision I'm trying to make, you know, it could be as simple as deciding where I'm going to travel on vacation. I will masturbate. You know, if I'm kind of stuck on making a decision, I'll masturbate and the decision will come to me during the masturbation. And if it doesn't, you know, sometimes it's like after the release, like I'll have an idea, but the masturbation kind of like lets me relax. And then like an idea may pop in my head that will then influence like, oh, that this is what you should be doing, right? Like to me, it's always been something, and I'm not saying like just jerking off once is going to unlock this. It could be like, you know, over multiple, several days or over several hours or
multiple or times masturbating. Yes. Fuck yeah. Fucking edge that dick, dude.
Yes. Yeah. But it is, it's a tool that I use to help me make decisions occasionally. Yeah.
No, I totally, I use it all the time too. I'm just like, I'm feeling really overwhelmed. So yeah, if you want to say that's stimming, masturbation is a great stimming technique, it is.
Yeah,
keep at it, bros.
Nothing wrong with it.
If you don't know what to do, if you can't make a choice, just masturbate.
It will come to you.
It will come to you. That's why I feel like masturbation is so great. Like I'm always not gonna not talk about how the powers of masturbation, how amazing it is.
Yes. Yeah,
I like being a baiter. I like hiding to other baiters about baiting.
Mm. It's interesting. Like today I was thinking about my bait journey and how I feel like once I became more part of the leather community, I didn't bait as much, or like, you know, I was way more active on like Skype at one point in bait world, and now it's like less so.
Why do you think that is?
And I think that's just because for me, I go through these periods of like, you know, sometimes I want to have sex with other people, and other months I don't want to be near people and I rather just bait. So I definitely feel like there's these larger like patterns of like, oh, I'm really into this year. And then next year I'll be like, no, like I'm going to go back into like doing things on Skype and things like that. So it's kind of this larger thing of like, I'd like to see what's happening in like the whole sexual field and like really get to know one area and then be like, all right, let's like get good at a different part of this.
Well, I think that's why I'm so fascinated by sex and like intimacy and like, just the theme, because it you're right, it is like a journey. You go through these different phases of your life where you're just like, oh, you, people get so conflicted about it because it's like, oh, I used to like this and now I don't know. That's cool. Just follow that trajectory, man. Like no one's gonna, it's your life, it's your genitals, you know, it's your pleasure. Yeah. Like I've gone through ebbs and flows for sure. I mean, the foundation of my sexuality will always be solo sexuality, but I love exploring different genres in that, and yes, different like sub kinks. Having a conversation with masturbators, and I think another of our superpowers is our ability to focus on different sex acts rather than just penetration.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, I'm turned on by penetration. It's great, but you know, I love I love like reading about sex, you know, like nifty.org is great. If y'all don't know what Nifty is, that's a great place to go. I just ordered a couple of books from, I think it's called Handy J. Are you familiar with
this? I haven't heard of that.
I'll send you a link. Because I really want like these vendors to keep this tradition of like gay media alive. Like, you think it's dying. So I'm always willing to support. Like, I love Butt Magazine. Do you know Butt Magazine?
Yes. Yeah.
I love that it came back. So I'm always supporting that. Where was I going with that? I lost my train of thought.
I forget.
I don't know. I just love talking about masturbation, penis.
We were talking about Bader and the Bader journey and the fact that like we kind of evolve over time.
Yeah, yeah. Or that you can go on, like you can live, you can, we're more inclined to like experiment with the different avenues of sex.
Yes.
Like, you know, where I'm really into phone sex. I love the verbal. I love hearing it. Like, it's very auditory for me. So that's really nice. Reading it's really nice. Hearing it from other baiters is really nice.
There's several thoughts that pop in my head. One is that I really think even if we're in person and we're baiting, to me that's sex. And I have always been a little offended when I hear people only think about sex as penetration, because I think that sex is more about the energy that's created rather than one act. So I've always had an issue with that. And I feel like as masturbators, I feel like we have a more like broad term of what we deem as sex.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you on that for sure. Like, I don't think sex is just been, there's so many different ways you can have it. And it is about, I think it is about energy too. For me, like if the vibes are off, then it's not something that I'm going to have a good time doing. Right.
Totally. Totally.
And that can be anything. That could be even when people want to make the argument of like anonymous sex, like even if I'm engaging in anonymous sex, you can feel the vibe in that exchange. Like, your gut is telling you, like, is this going to be good anonymous sex or is it going to be like shady, like sketchy? And it, you know, it's all subjective. You know, it all depends on the person and what your threshold of like anonymous sex is. And I think it's really important to continue to have that conversation, because you know, there's people out there watching all these videos and you're just like, oh, that's the kind of anonymous sex I need to have in order to do anonymous sex. And if that's really your thing, there's layers to sex. Like, there's so many different ways that you can obtain that in a capacity that's going to make you feel the thing you're trying to feel.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, I've learned that it's not necessarily, like, it's a combination of things, but ultimately they're going for a feeling, whatever that is. Like, if they want to feel dom, if they want to feel sub, or if they want to feel risky, or it's ultimately that rush that they're trying to obtain, and they can get it in so many different ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think in one way, I used to use sex, especially in like my teens and 20s, of like, that's, as gay men, I think one of the easiest ways to connect with other people, right? Because sex in general is like quite available. Like, for me at times, it's been easier for me to find a sex partner than to find someone who wants to go out for breakfast.
Sure. Right? Yes. That is real. So yes.
I feel like the feeling sometimes could be as base as like just human connection. But in other ways, I think, at least for me, like I think about my beta journey, I started out, and it's like I can occupy both roles, but I started out primarily only as like a sub beta. So like I really loved being coached and being told, you know, when to take poppers and like basically being told exactly what to do, when to come, and things like that. Like I was in that realm for many years. And then I transitioned into coaching sometimes, but that was after years of basically studying how to be coached myself.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's kind of been an evolution that now, depending on my feelings or what I want activated, mm-hmm. I can go either way.
Yeah. Yeah. The student becomes a teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's hot as fuck.
And then it's hotter when the student fucks the teacher.
Hey. That is really hot. But I also think for me, it's come with age. Like as I got older, I'm very much entering like the Pedro Pascal phase of my life where I'm just like daddy all the way. Like it turned me on at this point. I think when I was getting towards 40, I was being a little conflicted because I was at an age, like in my late 30s, where I was being called daddy, but I was like, I don't feel it yet. Like, I'm not there. And I don't know. I think once I reached the 4-0, I was like, okay, I can do this. I can really inhabit this space now. And I really enjoy it. It's really hot as fuck.
Me too. It's only been, I would say, in the past year or two, since that's what people primarily call me. You know, I live now in a university town at which I don't work at the university. And so all the students are free game for me. And, you know, it's really hot for me to kind of train these college kids. You know, I feel like I have a lot of experience and a lot of technique, and for them to experience that, I feel like, you know, it's always something that like kind of turns me on, that they have never been in a sling or things like that, and to be the first one that like introduces them to different toys. And you know, I kind of get off on that whole like educator part.
It's really sexy. I can get off on it becoming really like medical, like really like, oh, like we're gonna measure your body now, if you could just please sign up for me. If you can disrobe, we're gonna go ahead and measure your penis.
Make sure I know it's know. Like when it's like really formal like that, that's really hot.
It is really sexy because you're just like, fuck, this is all I've ever wanted. I just imagine like the sexiest pediatrician you ever had. That's fucking great, dude. That's so fucking amazing. How did you get into like baking and stuff?
As a kid, I don't know if kids still do this, but I had to take a home economics class, you know, when I was like 12, right? So that was kind of my introduction to baking. And from there, I kind of just slowly developed a passion for baking and exploring the kitchen and things like that. But it wasn't until like after college when I had my own, you know, I was in an apartment not eating food from the campus I was like, all right, I need variety in my life. Like just as much as I need variety in my sex life, I need variety in my diet life. And so I didn't have a lot of money. So I was like, I need to learn how to cook cheaply, but something that's going to be flavorful in different dishes. And so it kind of came from this point of like self-sufficiency, but also frugality and wanting to travel, but not having the money, and basically cooking being the way I can visit different cultures.
Do you cook for your boys?
Some of them.
That's hot.
Some, you know, the ones in which I don't know their name, they're just hole number 1, 2, 3, and so forth.
Sure.
But there are some people that, you know, will come over and I'll cook them a meal.
Yeah. That's hot. And then have them do nasty, dirty things to you.
Of course.
Of course.
Let me tell you another fantasy of mine. So one of my other fantasies is basically opening up like a bait hotel, where if like a baiter wants to just masturbate like all weekend, I will just make them like the most delicious food. Like they can tell me their dietary restrictions, and then I'll make the food and I'll leave it outside the door so that they can just like bait like the whole day. And I'm going to make them like healthy food so that they have the stamina to keep baiting. And, you know, they'll be in this room that's just like all screens. So they can't like, they can't just stop.
Can we go in on this hotel together? I've fully invested. I would love that. I really would. I just feel like another thing that I would love to do is like open like a sex, like I've always wanted to open a sex store, like a store that actually sells like sex toys and clothing and articles and gear, whatever. But then at the time I was also doing like sex coaching work, and I was like, oh, I want to combine the both of them, like, so you could come to this establishment, get sex coached, you know, when you know you have all the product available to you, so you can like kind of sell people what the things that they need. But I also think too, I would like it to be like a third thing, like after hours. I just wanted to be like a sex club.
Yes.
Like everything that kind of shuts down, the rooms open up, and then like
that's the slings come from the ceiling. They just drop down.
That's right. Yeah. Like I'm going to make it very like aesthetically pleasing, do that whole like 80s retro vibe again. Just have it be like a space to do that work. I do like this hotel though. What can we call this hotel?
I don't know. Like, I mean, you could call it something as simple as like the Bait Hotel. It could be the name of your podcast, The Bait Escape. I mean, like that's the name of a hotel, right?
I should trademark.
You should totally trademark before someone who is listening to this steals this idea.
Serious shit. Okay, let's not talk about this anymore. Because I feel like someone's really going to get on it. What the fuck? I'm looking forward to the new Bait Off.
In May,
yeah, because I caught a couple of bros actually being in it, and I'm so happy that Bait World chose them to be in it. They really want to do that, watch them do their thing.
That's good.
Masturbate right along with them,
as you should.
You know what we should do? We should do like on Twitter, we should do we should host like a
space.
Yeah, and it's just like us, like just verbal, like,
oh my god, that would be so fun. We should do that,
like coaching people and like having people just like masturbate.
When Spaces came out initially, I like at one point like hosted this space that like had 100 people, and I would just select like one person and coach them and have everyone listen to it. And then get them off and then take the next person. And it was just like this conveyor belt of like baiters. And it kind of, I don't know, like I feel like in the past few months, like I've just used Twitter less and less.
Because it's shit.
Yeah. And I wish that there was a different social network that was as, I don't know, like sexual. Like I feel like Twitter's the only place that I can put up like a lot of the non-cooking stuff that I work on. And I don't know where else that people can really share that besides like Tumblr, but I don't know if people actually use Tumblr anymore.
I mean, yeah, no, Tumblr died. I mean, there's new Tumblr. I used to have a new Tumblr, but there was just so much going on. Like I had all these different social avenues that I wasn't paying attention to it. Plus it was just like, regurgitating things that had already happened. But I'm waiting for someone to like make up a new Twitter, because
but you and I are on Telegram, and I feel like Telegram is like one option, but it's something where like it's all channel based instead of having like your own page, so it's harder to disseminate like your information. You have to be in this particular topic, you know. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's the new, to me, I feel like Telegram is where I spend a lot of my bait time. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like there's just so much material now on Telegram.
Yeah, I do think that Telegram's like the new space that I feel like I'm interacting more with.
Yeah,
and I tell people to come over because I just feel like, I don't know, my values and using Twitter. I'm just like, I can't. I feel shitty every time I go log on to the fucking platform. Yeah. But it's like the one place where, yeah, I have the most followers.
And I just feel like Twitter seems so unstable. There's a part of me that's like, it's going to burn to the ground like in a year or two.
Totally.
So should I be putting into something to, you know, be putting an effort into something that I know is going to collapse? Like, that's kind of what's in my head.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That's okay. Just move all that shit over. It won't be too much. It is going to go down to the ground. I'm waiting for the day. This is cool chat.
I know. I feel like we've been chatting for like more than an hour, it seems. But it feels like it's been like a second.
Yeah. That's the power of masturbation. You like look at a timer, just like, yeah, I've been masturbating for an hour and a half. It feels like only 10 minutes. That's what I'm going to do when I get off this call. I'm going to go masturbate.
I might do the same.
How do you get ready for a masturbation session?
How did I what?
How do you get ready for a session in your dungeon? Do you do it in your dungeon always? Or
yeah.
Do you,
like, yeah. Yeah. I primarily do it in my dungeon. I change places. So there, sometimes like I'll just be in my bedroom. But it only, this may sound weird, but I'm so attuned to the environment that I don't want to say 100% of the time, but let's say 90% of the time, 95% of the time, like I prefer to bait when it's dark, right? So like, I'd rather have like, you know, be in my dungeon or at night, like maybe baiting in my bedroom. But like, it's a question of what I'm doing during the bait. You know, if I want to watch porn, then I'll go in my dungeon. But if I'd rather just like, you know, have a mirror bait session or just be in my thoughts, you know, I'll just go to like my bedroom and just like be wherever I want to be.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends on like the mood that I'm in. What about you? Do you bait just on your couch?
I don't have a couch, so I just mostly do this on my bed. But I'm so lazy that I just need to like lay down or sit down and masturbate. However, I did go to Palm Springs not too long ago. I got invited to like this like sex party thing, and I was masturbating and I was doing it standing up most of the time. And I was like, oh, this is different for me. Like, I really.
That was going to be my question, because for me, for the past probably at least 5 to 7 years, I get off like 99% of the time I'm standing when I have an orgasm. And it's become more difficult for me to have an orgasm when I'm laying down. And I don't think I've ever had an orgasm sitting, like in a chair.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like like your body remembers, like you get used to the feeling of coming in a particular position, and so it's always in your best interest to kind of like change it up.
Totally.
But so now I'm at a point now where I'm just like, I have to be lying down. Well, that's only because I'm really lazy. But I feel like maybe I need to like move, like even in my own space, I need to like just get up and like masturbate. So your body's becoming more aware of like, oh, we're still like your penis in your brain is like, we're still kind of feeling pleasure, even though I'm like doing a fucking back roll.
yes. Yeah.
Which early on in my beta journey, like I did experiment. Like I was like, oh, what if I lay on my side or on my back or like standing up or like outside? And I think over the years, I was like, you lazy motherfucker, just get your ass in bed. And like, you know, all I really want to do is like kick back and just have someone masturbate me. Speaking of fantasies, like I love being able to be like a sub top. Like I just want to be a big dick. You can do whatever you want with me. Like,
I like that too.
Yeah, like just like use my body as your pleasure, like make me do what you need me to do, like tell me how to fuck you. That's always been like a really big fantasy. And also too, like I've always wanted to get like tied up and edged.
Me too. I would say that that is like a fantasy of mine just because one, I have a very hard time coming without my hands. So it is something that, like, for me, when I think about sex, I'm always thinking about things I want to accomplish or like work on. And one thing that I want to work on is to be able to come easier. You know, like I want to be able to come while someone else is like jerking me off, or like even while I'm fucking someone. Like I always need to like jerk it off. There's only been probably like less than 10 times in my life where I've come hands free, like someone was blowing me or, you know, yeah, or jerking me off. For me, like there's always these goals, and that's one goal that I'm working. Like I'll probably get there hopefully when I'm like 40, to become less like, what's the word, like, or desensitized or less sensitized. Like, so I, you know, like I feel like I need to just only use a fleshlight and stop using my hand, and then the neural pathway will develop in my head and I'll be able to like come off fucking. I feel like that's the journey I need to go on.
Do you like fleshlights?
I don't like, yes and no.
I'm the same. I'm the same.
I have one and I will
Same.
go through months where I don't use it, and then an idea will pop up and be like, you should fuck your fleshlight today. And so I'll do it, but what I really want to do is I want to build a shelf that I can install onto my wall and put my fleshlight into it so that I don't need to hold it like while I'm fucking it. And I can actually fuck it and not use my hands essentially. That's the goal.
That's a good goal. I ended up buying like a mount for my shower so I could like fuck it in the shower. But I have a really small shower and I fuck really hard. So like inevitably like it'll just break off. I'm just like, bro, what's wrong with you? You need to fucking chill. And I'm just like, I don't know. That's how I fucking it'll just like fly boom. And I'm just like, okay, that was not what I wanted to have planned. But I just find it really uncomfortable, like fucking a fleshlight. Like it's not
Yeah.
fucking like a human being. Like it's so
I know.
different. And so I do have one. I also have this. You can see it there. It's like it looks like a fleshlight built for two people. And so essentially, like it has two holes opening, but in the inside, it's like a complete empty chamber. And so your
Okay.
dicks are rubbing inside this hole or
Yeah.
this fleshlight. And I used it once on a neighbor, and I haven't used it since. And I've been wanting to find someone to use it again with. Maybe that'll be something I could cruise for.
Yes, I think so. I mean, I feel like do you use like Scruff or Grindr or any of those things? So I feel like, do you notice like in the, I want to say in the past year or so, now there's these like tags that you're gonna have on your profile, and one of them can be beta. And I feel like the concept of being like a beta is becoming more known. So I feel like you could find people that are just like into that and not looking to get fucked.
Oh yeah, like on my profiles, it's a solosexual or beta. I get hit up all the time. And it'll be like jack off question mark. I'm like, yeah, dude, that's exactly what it is. And oftentimes I'll get people to be like, what's a beta? They'll like self-identify, but they won't actually know what the term is or like what the history of it is. But I do agree. I think it's the term side that I'm hearing a lot. Yeah, and so I'm just like, oh, what's a side? And it's just like, yeah, this growing knowledge of self-pleasuring, not necessarily masturbation. You know, you can self-pleasure with a toy up your butt, but just this idea of just like let's self-pleasure each other in the safe space, but like not do anything to each other, which is really sexy.
And I feel like
Because I
the
really
analogy
love
here,
watching people self-pleasure. I think it's really sexy.
I think it's sexy. Yeah, I definitely prefer to, I do like to watch that.
Yeah, I'm a huge voyeur.
The thing I was going to say is I think it's like the analogy to the whole like side and baiter thing is like, I'm thinking about gender issues, about how it's only been recently that I feel like people are starting to like get out of the binary of thinking about man and woman, but it's also like, oh, we have intersex, so, you know, you could be trans and so forth. Like there's these options other than the binary.
Sure.
And I feel like the same thing goes with sex. You know, we used to just think about top bottom, but it's like, no, there's like a whole world of how people like to identify and pleasure themselves. And we just didn't have the words to describe it, but it's always been there. We just didn't have like the language to sort through it until like recently, I think.
Yeah, I know, I totally agree on that too. Also too, like just the pride of like being able to really take pride and to say that I really enjoy these things. Like I don't have to be
shameful or guilt.
Yeah, I don't have to be ashamed. I don't have to feel like I'm like doing anything extra, you know. This isn't extra, this is just who I am. Like this. Yes. And that's another thing too, going back to the book, when I left you that voice note and I was like, oh, I love how they were able to change something that was deemed a negative and then change the perspective into a positive and to then really validate that for yourself, right? And to say,
exactly.
Oh, I'm not this one thing. I love that I'm this thing, but I'm actually this thing and I value it because it's helped me do this other thing. And I was like, oh, it's such a shift in perspective. I thought that was really interesting.
I know. Yeah. I feel like we try to like force ourselves to be one way and maybe it's just part of being like a beta, but we go on this journey. And I think a lot of beaters go on like this self-acceptance journey of like, this is what I'm into. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, like that's, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Like that's the one thing that I'm really like, I'm always just like, oh yeah, like Gen Z knows what's up. They're just like doing their thing. They don't give a fuck. They're just like, this is what it is. Especially right now in the world. But let's not get into politics. That's bizarre. Politics. Where can people find you?
So people can find me on Instagram as The Leather Cook. You can also find me on Twitter as The Leather Cook, though I don't post that much on that particular account. I do have an alt Twitter, but we're going to keep that on the side at the moment, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like I'm still working through integrating that all the way in.
Sure. No, that's totally fair. So Instagram, The Leather Cook.
Yeah, if you're interested in like hypnosis and bait tracks, feel free to send me a message and I'll give you the contact to my Patreon that focuses on that.
Oof. Yeah, please do so. He has some really hot vocalization tracks that you can get really good into.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, cool. Thanks so much for talking to me about sex and all things masturbation.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. All right, y'all. So please check out my buddy Steve on Instagram. He's so hot. and then, you know, we'll see you on the next episode.